Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So what did I emphasize in the reading?
In Christ.
In Christ. Very good. It's wonderful to be in the in crowd, and I'm going to talk about being in today. Whether we are in with our families, and if we're out with our families, it's good to have a group around us where we are in. We all need that sense of belonging. We have to find a place where we can belong. It's so vital to our health and well-being. I had put in our last newsletter about my foster sister. There was a little girl who came to our family a year before I was born. Her name was Helen. And the story of Helen is very sad. Her mom got sick, and instead of taking care of his children, Dad brought his children to Grandma, and Grandma promptly put them in foster care, and they were all split up. Can you imagine little children being split up? And this little girl at 5 years old was an angry child. And so she was brought to foster parents who could not take care of her because she was so out of control. She pitched tantrums all the time. So they sent her from foster parent to foster parent. Nobody wanted this child. And finally, social services asked my parents to take her on. Now, my parents already had three little boys, very active little boys. And they really didn't have time for another child, but they were moved with compassion, so they took on this little girl, this angry little girl. When they got a hold of her, she was obese. She was crying all the time. And they were not college graduates. They had no degree in psychology, but they had an abundance of common sense. And so they told the social workers, while she is with us, she is our child. She is no different from our other children. And sometimes they'd have back and forths with the social workers, but the social workers could not deny that the child was getting better. She stayed with our family for 2 years, and by the time she left, she was thin. She had an abundance of self-control. She felt good about herself. She was reunited with the family. And until they died, she stayed in close contact with my parents. Why? Because she was accepted and she was in. And she understood what that meant and how wonderful it was. I read a magazine article very recently about a lady named Mi-hee Kim Court. She's Korean-American, and she came with her parents in the late 1970s, and they became naturalized citizens. 7 years after they came, when they became citizens, they were allowed to take different names, and a lot of Korean-Americans did this so that their names could match American names. And this little girl had picked out the name Rebecca. She liked it because it was a Bible story and she liked the name Rebecca. But apparently they missed the paperwork deadline. And of course, in these United States, everything has to do with paperwork. And so they missed the deadline, so she had to keep her original name, Mi-hee. And she said she remembered being disappointed, but it passed. And she forgot about it, but then she writes this, that is, I forgot until the teasing began. At first, I was fielding questions about whether I was Chinese or Japanese. Then came the guesses like a game. Where did you come from? Then there were all the variations and changes they made to Mi-hee, an easy target of a name. And since it's an Asian name, it was easily paired with Ching Chong songs while my tormentors pulled their eyes up at a slant. Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees, look at these. These incidents led to years of propagating the deep shame a person can feel, calcifying that self-hatred until it becomes a part of your skin and bones. It's so wonderful to be in the in crowd, and it's so terrible when we're not. And the people to whom Paul spoke were not in the in crowd. These were Gentiles. The Jews, the people that were God's own people, that were special to God, that were given a mission to be a light, not to themselves, but to the Gentiles. These people were in the in crowd, and it was a wonderful place to be, even when things went terribly wrong, because they knew the God of the universe and all the grace of God, all the mercy of God, they knew was at their disposal. And even though they were taught to be open to all cultures, there were certain things that were still exclusionary. A Gentile could go to the temple and worship, but only in certain areas. A Gentile could come into the community of faith, but there would never be a Gentile priest. And there would never be an intermarriage, even if that person was part of the community of faith. They were on the outside. And Paul, a man of sterling Jewish credentials, tells his Gentile friends a secret. He said, there's a mystery that has been revealed now, but it took place before creation began. And that mystery was this, that God had you in mind before you were ever created. You were never second best. And so for this group that had been on the outside looking in, they were being told God always had you in mind. And in Christ, you are part of God's wonderful fabric of being. Now, the irony of this is that when Paul was writing these words, he was in a Gentile prison. He had Gentile guards. There was a Gentile king ready to sign his execution order. How many of us in that position would then speak grace to a race of people who were oppressing him? But you see, being in Christ doesn't just mean we're in the in crowd. There are certain expectations when we are in Christ, because Christ opened his arms to everyone. It was the divine inclusion. And when people were outside, he didn't say, I have certain people in and you're out. He welcomed all. And so we who are in Christ, when there's somebody outside the faith or who does not believe as we do, we don't say, well, we're in and you're out. We open our arms in love, even if that person never comes to understand what we understand, the divine inclusion. This is part of who we are in Christ. Being in Christ gives us a completely different perspective. The choir sang that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. It's such a lovely hymn. It was set in the 1700s. The person who wrote it was a vicar, but before he became a great clergyman, he was a slave trader. And it was said that he was more profane than the worst sailor who was on the ships. And after he came to Christ, I had hoped to read that the minute he came to Jesus, he said, I'm done with that life. Didn't happen. It took him a few years to figure it out. But he did, because when we're in Christ, we don't change overnight. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, we will change. And he did. He not only became a great clergyman, but he became a staunch abolitionist. And he saw the end of slavery in England. Are you in Christ today? God had us in mind, you and me, in mind, before he created this world. He had us in mind when he sent his chosen people out to reflect his grace and his mercy. He had us in mind when he sent the prophets, and he had us in mind when he sent Jesus, and he has us in mind today. Are you in Christ today? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that in you we have a new perspective. I thank you that we find everything we need in you, especially when we're going through difficult times. And I ask, O Lord, that our circle of grace and mercy would widen each and every day that you've given us breath. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?